Shall we turn in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4? In our last lesson, we covered the temptation of Jesus by Satan. Verse 13 declares, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." In the book of Hebrews, we are told that Jesus, in all points, was tempted like we are, in order that he might help us when we are in temptation. There is nothing like going through an experience in order to help you to understand what it's like to go through that experience. I mean, it's just, there's no substitute for experience. And when you have gone through an experience, then you are more capable in helping those that are going through a similar experience. A lot of times it's hard to relate to people and to the problems or the difficulties that they are facing because we have never been in that position ourselves. I have a hard time relating to my wife when she gets depressed because I've never been depressed. Now, maybe, and I hope not, someday the Lord will let me experience depression so that I can better understand her. But there is nothing like going through the experience yourself in order to give you the sympathetic understanding that you need to help others that are going through the similar kind of experience. Jesus went through temptation. The purpose of his going through that temptation was in order to understand and to aid us when we go through temptation. Now it says that Satan left him or departed from him until an opportune time. There are times when we go through special testings, times of stress, and then we seem to make it through and we think, wow, you know, praise the Lord, I came out victorious, I conquered, and now I've got it made. No, Satan's just standing back waiting for an opportune time to attack again. He is an opportunist. He takes advantage of every situation. He is watching. And the thing is, and the problem is that he has so scrutinized and analyzed you that he knows your area of weakness. He knows the place of greatest weakness in your life. And he's just waiting to catch you at a weak moment and to take advantage of that weakness that you have. When the sons of God were presenting themselves to God in the book of Job, and God brought up to Satan the subject of Job, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" The word "considered" in Hebrew is a word that is used in warfare. It is a word that means to study carefully, to find the place of weakness or vulnerability. It is a word that was generally used when an army captain or general was studying a city that he wanted to attack. And as he was watching the movements of the people, the time of the opening of the gates, the way things were going, studying it in order to discover the weakest point of that city so he could devise his attack to catch them at the unguarded moment and at the weakest point. That is the way the word is used in the Hebrew, this word considered. And that is the word that Jesus used when he asked Job, "Have you considered my servant Job? Have you been studying and analyzing him, looking for the place of vulnerability, looking for the place to attack?" And the frightening thing is that Satan acknowledged, "Yes, I have." And Satan had not only been studying him, but Satan had also devised in his mind the place of weakness. Satan felt that he knew the point of vulnerability. He had concluded that because God had blessed Job so much, that it was only natural for Job to serve God. But somehow Job was a mercenary. And so Satan said, "Look, you've blessed that fellow so much, he'd be a fool not to serve you. But let me take away those blessings. Let me take away those riches that you have prospered him in. That man will curse you to your face." Satan had studied, he had analyzed, he had made a wrong conclusion. But nonetheless, he had been studying and analyzing this man, even as he has studied and analyzed you, and he's waiting for the opportune moment to catch you. And so Satan finished the temptations for a time, but he just stood back, waiting now for an opportune time to attack again. Sort of awesome and frightening to realize that that guy's lurking back in the shadows just to catch you when you're on guard. If I didn't know that the Lord was with me to help me, I'd really be terrified tonight. If I didn't know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, I think I would despair. But I know that Jesus went through those temptations in order that he might aid me when I am tempted. And having conquered, he has given to me his resources to stand in the hour of temptation. And he gives to you his resource. So that the foe that we face is a powerful, cunning foe, relentless. And yet, he that is with us is greater and has conquered. And we enter into his victory and we also conquer through him. So there is no temptation that you may experience. But what others have been tempted in that same area, but also God will give to you the way of escape. We do not need to yield to temptation. We do not need to stumble or fall at the enemy's attacks. We have the resource and power through Jesus Christ to live victoriously, and that's what his temptation was all about, to help you when you are tempted. Verse 14, we read that then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. In the last chapter, chapter 3, verse 22, when Jesus was at the Jordan River and baptized by John, as he was worshiping, coming up out of the water, as he was worshiping, the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him. So standing there in the water after John had baptized him, as he was worshiping the Father, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And then we read in the first verse of chapter 4, Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was then led by the Spirit. So first of all, we read of the Spirit coming upon him. And then we read of his being filled with the Spirit and then being led by the Spirit. And now in verse 14, he returns in the power of the Spirit. It's sort of tragic today that people seek to limit the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. There are so many that would deny today the power of the Spirit in the life of the believer, especially in the area of spiritual gifts. There are those today that would deny the validity of spiritual gifts or deny you from seeking or coveting earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. And yet we find that the Spirit was very active in the life of Jesus. The Spirit had come upon him. He was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He came in the power of the Spirit. Now, if Jesus needed this endowment of power from the Spirit in order to exercise his ministry, how much more do we need the power of the Spirit to exercise any valid ministry for God? One of the great weaknesses of the church today is the denial of the power of the Holy Spirit in the service of God. We have sought to substitute instead the genius of man that has been developed in seminary studies. Now that we have our seminaries, our institutes of higher learning, we are able now to go to school and we're able to understand so many things that we no longer need the power of the Spirit. We can now do it ourselves. And the tragic condition of the church today is a testimony against man's wisdom, man's might, man's ability. It is still true, the words of the Lord to Zerubbabel when he said, "It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." If Jesus had the Spirit come upon him, I need the Spirit upon my life. If Jesus was filled with the Spirit, I need to be filled with the Spirit. If Jesus was led by the Spirit, I need to be led by the Spirit. If he came in the power of the Spirit, I need to come in the power of the Spirit. For he is our example, Peter said, that we should follow in his steps. Now, it is interesting that Luke omits a full year of the ministry of the life of Jesus around Galilee. He just tells us that he came in the power of the Spirit. He returned to Galilee. That is, returned from the area down near Jordan, or down near Jericho, where he was baptized in the Jordan River. Now back on up into the area of Galilee, and there he began his ministry. Coming in the power of the Spirit, the news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he was spending a lot of time in Capernaum, in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and those cities around the Galilee. In the next verse, we find him coming to Nazareth, but this is after he has been ministering in the area of the Galilee for 1 year. It is interesting that none of the synoptic gospels give us any indication of the first year of the public ministry of Jesus in Galilee. This has been left for John, And in the Gospel of John, John tells us much about the first year of the ministry of Christ in and around the Sea of Galilee. But interestingly enough, Luke omits that year, and it's completely silent. He covers the space of a year in just the distance between verse 15 and 16. You have a year's ministry of Christ in and around the Galilee as he was moving in the power of the Spirit and working through the Spirit the works of God in their midst. And so now as he comes to Nazareth, he has already been engaged in a public ministry for a year, and news about him, of course, has come back to Nazareth. Many have gone down to the Galilee to see him and to see if these things were true. But he now returns to his hometown. He now comes to the synagogue where he, as a boy and as a young man, attended Sabbath services. The synagogue where they knew him. And we see the response to Jesus in his hometown. And it is a rather amazing response indeed. And because it's going to take an evening to study this experience in Nazareth, we're going to put that off until next Thursday night. We'll come to the synagogue in Nazareth and we'll find the ministry of Jesus in his hometown, in the synagogue where they knew him, and the response of the people to him there. So next week, you can read ahead of the ministry of Jesus there in Nazareth, and we'll be covering that next Thursday night. Shall we stand? A joy to have Chuck Girard with us tonight. Joy to have Isabel Lindsay with us tonight. And a special joy to have you with us tonight. What a joy it is to gather together as the body of Christ and to experience the warmth of his love as we fellowship together and as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of him, our Savior. May the Lord be with you, and may he bless you, and may the Spirit of God come upon you, that you might be filled with the Spirit, that you might be led by the Spirit, that you might walk in the Spirit, and that you might go in the power of the Spirit to do the work of God. God bless you. Use you in Jesus' name.